excited to be a child of God. Well, good morning. We're going to do things differently this morning. And so why don't you open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 1. I want to share out of the book of Nehemiah. We're taking a break from Acts this morning. And the reason why is because I want to share from my heart this morning and share what the Lord has shown me. Just share from my heart. That's it. You know, that's the best way to do it. It's just share from your heart, because that's where Jesus lives, right? Our heart is his home. So praise God. Nehemiah chapter 1. And what I want to share this morning, goes through the whole book of Nehemiah, you know, all the chapters. But obviously we're not going to be able to share all the books, but I'm just going to share little bits and pieces. I want to share what God has given me in regards to the mission of here at Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship, a new vision. He has given us a new heart, a new vision, a new work, and I'm going to share that. I pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning as we come together to hear your word, and may you open it to us, Lord. Father God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Lord, we are so excited that we are called a child of God. We are excited and full of joy that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, I want to pray for clarity. I want to pray for wisdom, for understanding, for knowledge, to govern your people, Lord, to discern and to lead and to direct, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would bless us, the pastors and the elders, the leadership, that you bless the people, Lord, just like you did in days of old, Lord, and how you are moving. Lord, we pray that you would move through us here in our community, our Jerusalem. So bless us this morning as we look to your word, and we do give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Nehemiah chapter 1. First of all, the book of Nehemiah, it shows us how Lord used one man to get his work done. And that one man, when God called him, immediately he took what the Lord put before him, he took it to prayer. And from there, that burning desire, that work that God put into Nehemiah's heart, it grew into action. This started because why? The Lord moved through the heart of one man. That's how it started. And I think all ministries, when they start, it's because God puts it in the heart of a man. The desire, it grows within that person that the Lord wants to use. And then it starts to take off through action in that person's life. So look at verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 1. It says, the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hashileah, or it came to pass in the month of Chelzlev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, these, you know, the New Testament words, you know, I'll never get them right, plus the Greek and the Hebrew. I'm not a scholar in that, but we'll get it done. one of my brethren came with the men from Judea, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. And the walls of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And so it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and I mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And so this is where it all starts with Nehemiah, okay? The Lord brought this divine appointment to Nehemiah. And I believe it was the Lord's doing for this work to get started. Obviously, God put it in Nehemiah's heart. And when Nehemiah heard about the deep trouble, the severe distress, and the terrible affliction that was happening to God's people from the surrounding peoples and the nations that were there, and towards the Jews who had already returned to Jerusalem, because there was two groups that went to Jerusalem prior to Nehemiah. One was led by Zerubbabel and the other was led by Ezra, who they went to Jerusalem when it was broken down and it was tore up. And they started rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah heard what was going on. And then he heard that the city of their forefathers, the city of God, the holy city of Jerusalem, had been torn down and the gates had been burned, that Nehemiah's heart became one with them. And what I mean by that, he had this deep concern for others. And it was evident in his life by his action, what he did when he felt this way. He became one with them. He took on their position in his own life. And when others were suffering, he was filled with this compassion for their welfare. I call it a passion for the lost. That's the way I look at it. And I think we need a passion for the lost. We need a passion for those who are hurting, those believers who maybe have fallen from the wayside, those who backslidden, and those who we don't see it anymore. Well, Nehemiah had this passion, and he was filled with this compassion for their welfare. Now, remember, Nehemiah never been to Jerusalem. He was born into captivity in Persia. He wasn't born in Jerusalem, but when he heard about the temple in Jerusalem was being reconstructed, when he heard that the people were a wreck and there was no walls to protect the city, to protect the people, he was moved to do something about it. That's where it starts, in the heart of the leadership. And that's what happened here in North Park. Back in the 80s, when Horizon Christian Fellowship left North Park, God moved through a group of individuals who was ready to continue the work that was here. And that's where it all began. And when I think about Nehemiah, when he was moved to do something about it, I really believe that's the way it should be with us also. You know, we see what's going around here in North Park, you know, within our workplaces, within our family. When you look around, if you really want to know what's going on in North Park, I would encourage you to come here late at night. Come here late at night, and you'll see exactly what's taking place in our community. I'm here late at night, and Andy and we walk around, and we just are just amazed at what's taking place, and we see the great opportunities that God has put before us to reach out to these people. I mean, when that building used to be, that's the building of our forefathers, that church, the North Park Theater. That's where it all began here in North Park. And almost every night, if not every night, there's a line of people from the door, from the side of the building. Sometimes it goes all the way around, all the way that way, of young people there to hear concerts. And I remember, when I see that, I remember in the very early years, that's how it was with God's people. The line was, people were packed to get in to hear the word of God. And I see this opportunity, like Nehemiah, who put himself in their shoes, in their position, and that stirred him up to with action to do something about it. And that's where I feel the Lord's leading me. Nehemiah's heart, he allowed it to identify with him. He felt compassion and empathy for those who were hurting. But more importantly, he just didn't feel it for others. He acted upon it, just like us. We need to act upon it, not just feel it. We need to do something about it. We need to be moved and meet the need of others, both physically, but most importantly, spiritually. I love Jesus. He was a great example. When he fed the people, when he ministered to people, he just didn't meet them their needs spiritually. He met their need physically as well. And sometimes we gotta take that action and do the same thing. So Nehemiah's heart was filled with examples of concern, of care, of compassion, not only for the condition and the state of the people, but for the holy city of Jerusalem. He was just, it was building up inside of him. Now look at verse 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and your mercies with those who love you and observe you, commandment, your commandments, and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayers of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned, and we have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept your commandments, the statutes and the ordinance which you have commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name and to let your servants prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now look at verse 1 in chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and I gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city of the place of my father's tomb lie waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judea, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? And so it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judea. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river, and I gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. And when Sanballat and Tobiah heard of it, they were deeply, deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. And so I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nor were there any animals with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by the night through the valley gate to the serpent wall and to the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down and its gates which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the walls of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's word that had spoken to me. And so they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. You know, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, Solomon said, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, where there's no spiritual insight to the things of God, there's no restraint among the people. And then we tend to do what is right in our own eyes. And isn't that why God destroyed the world in the first place? Because everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And so he wiped everybody out. And then we tend to do what is right in our own eyes. Therefore, there's no moving of the work of God in the lives of the people. Well, Nehemiah here in these two chapters, he inquired about the state of the people. He inquired about Jerusalem. And then he acted upon what he heard, guys. He was given a vision from the Lord, and he turned and he shared that vision with others. And what's more important is the steps that he took to fulfilling this vision for the well-being of the people of the city of Jerusalem. He was called to Jerusalem, and the Lord showed him the steps to take into fulfilling his purpose and vision. Now, these steps, again, that I want to share, they're found in the whole book of Nehemiah, but I'm going to just break it down to you because we can't go through the whole book. But I want you to hear these steps that he took, because when I read this, I was like, wow, Lord, this is exactly what you were showing me for our Jerusalem here in North Park. Listen to these steps. The first step, look at Nehemiah 1:5. Nehemiah said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenants and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. The first step that Nehemiah took is he went to the Lord in prayer. That was the start of the new beginning for the people and for Jerusalem. And you know, our prayer process here and finding this vision that God has given us here for North Park and what he's given to me is when the Lord brought it to me back in April of last year, I went to prayer before our God. I didn't know what I was going to do or how it was going to come to pass, but I went before the Lord and I started to pray. And then I told the prayer warriors, we had a meeting with the prayer warriors, and we had this big map of the North Park community, and I told the prayer warriors, I want you to go up there, and I want each prayer warrior to take a section of North Park, and I want you to own that section. That's your section, and I want you to pray for souls. I want you to pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit and God within your section of North Park. And then after we did that, we came together as a body, and we went up and down the blocks here, and we did prayer walks. That was the start of this vision that God has given us. Just like Nehemiah, the first thing he did is he went to prayer before the Lord. The second step is Nehemiah, he shared the vision. Look at verse 4. Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judea, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Well, the sharing process that I took in when God gave me this vision is that first I shared it with the pastors and the elders back in April of last year. The second step is I took it to the board of directors, and I shared it with the board of directors. The third step is I shared it at the leadership meeting that we had to all the leaders. And then now I'm sharing it to you as the body of Christ, what God has shown me for our community. That was the second step. The third step is the visualization of his purpose. When Nehemiah went to, look at chapter 2, verse 13. He had to visualize it. So he went there, and it says in verse 13, he says he went out by night through the valley gates and the serpent gate and the refuge gate, and he viewed the walls of Jerusalem. He saw where they were broken down and the gates, they were burned with fire. And he went on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, But there was no room there for him to pass. So he went up by night by the valley, and he viewed the wall. Then he turned back and entered the valley gate, and so he returned. He visualized it. And we have done the same thing here in North Park. We looked around, and you look around here, and you see what's going on, and we realize that we are in a middle of a mission field. Right here in North Park. We're in the middle of a mission field. We got the community to the south. We got the community to the west. We got the business in the party district to the north and to the east. We are in a very dynamic mission field here. I'm excited about it. You go out there, you can visualize and see how the community is broken down. Look at all the things that we go through here, the evil and the corruption and the lost souls that are walking around. There's people everywhere in North Park. They're everywhere. They look like a bunch of ants. You go out there not only in the daytime, but especially at night, and they are everywhere. Nehemiah visualized it. He went out and he looked at Jerusalem. He saw where the walls were broken down. He saw where the gates were torn up, and he saw the whole area and how it needed to be repaired. The fourth step is he motivated the people. Look at verse 17 in chapter 2. And then he said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken to me. Well, the next step for Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship is motivating the leadership. I'm going to get all the leadership, the leaders of each ministry, and the prayer team, and we're going to seek the Lord on how we can build the walls around the people here in North Park. The spiritual walls, how we can go out there and how are we going to act now? How are we going to meet the needs here? How can we rebuild the spiritual relationship with those who have fallen away and those who are no longer here because they're out there? And then we're going to meet. Now, the fifth step Nehemiah took is he delegated the work, and that's found in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 32, but I'm not going to read that, but I'm just going to kind of break it down for you, because in chapter 3, that's where he placed all the people to help in the work of rebuilding the walls. Remember, he was smart, because if your house was right here by this wall, he says, okay, you need to rebuild that portion of the wall because that's your job. And if you want the enemy to, you want to fortify your house, or you don't want the enemy to come in, you better build it strong. I think that was smart than having somebody else build it. Because if you were there, I'll make sure my portion of the wall is strong, because I don't want anybody coming into my front yard, you know. I'm going to build this strong. You know, he placed the people to help in the work of rebuilding the walls and the spiritual walls of the city of Jerusalem. Well, after we have planned the plans and we get together and with the leadership and we're ready to move forward, we're going to work together with you guys, with the body of Christ, and we're going to delegate to reach out and to become a beacon in the conscience of this community once more. Because you know what, guys? That's what we were in the North Park paper. That's what we were called. We were considered the conscience of North Park. I thought, wow, that is an awesome recognition from the world. They see us the conscience of the community. I want to rebuild that again. I want the people to know that we are impacting our community here in North Park, that we believe in godly morals, that we believe in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to get together and we're going to delegate what God is showing us to the body of Christ where we can work together. Now, the sixth step that Nehemiah had to overcome the opposition, and that's found in chapter 2, verse 19. Because after he got his vision, after he got the plan from God, he went there. And it says, but Sanballat and Tobiah, when they heard of it, they laughed at us and they despised us. And they said, what is this thing that you're going to do? Will you rebel against the king? And Nehemiah answered and said to them, God, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. You know, besides the enemy coming against us, you know what? I've been going through some very heavy spiritual warfare all the last 2 weeks. Physical, too. I mean, I'm going through some physical pain. My elbow hurts, my hand hurts, my foot hurts, my back hurts. It's like, man, I'm just a big pain. No wonder Carmen. Carmen's right. You are a pain. You know? I am. I'm a big pain. You know? But you know what? Besides the enemy coming against us, I think about what could keep us from doing the work that the Lord has called us to do. What are those things that hinder us? The opposition. You know what, guys? We can't not let the opposition, we can't let the obstacles hinder the work that God called us to do. You know, we have to see them as what? Opportunities, not obstacles. See them as opportunities to get this work done. To overcome in victory, because why? He is overcome. He didn't see obstacles. He saw opportunities to bring us in, to bring us eternal life and salvation when he went to the cross. Those were obstacles, opposition. Did he allow it to hinder the work? No. He went through it, and he got the victory. The seventh step, he removed the obstacles. Chapter 4, verse 7 through 23, I won't read it, but it tells us that remember when they were building the walls and Sanballat and Tobiah was there and they were bringing opposition and the other nations, and so the strength of the people was failing and they became discouraged because they were trying to keep them from doing the work that God called them to do. So what did they do? There's a lot of old stone there. They had to remove the old stone from the wall, and they set up guards there. They fill in the gaps of the wall that were broken down, and then everybody worked with their trough in one hand to work and the sword in the other. They're ready. I'm going to work, and at the same time, I'm ready to fight. The enemy comes, I'm going to put some mortar down and do this. That's what we're called to do, guys. We're called to work and fight. That's what we're called to do. Obstacles aren't meant to stop us from doing what the Lord has called us to do. They're meant for us to go through them. That's how we grow. They make us who we are. The eighth step, they stayed the course. Look at chapter 6. I think this is important. Turn to chapter 6. Look at verse 1. It says, now when it happened, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breaks left in it, although at the time I had not hung the doors in the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Now, why we can't allow the obstacles, we can't allow the enemy to keep us from doing that work. We have to stay the course. We have to do what God called us to do. If God called us to do, he's going to provide everything for us to do it. Not only will he provide spiritually, he'll provide physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. We have to stay the course, just like Nehemiah. I love what he said. Hey, I'm doing a great work here. I can't come down to you guys. Besides, you guys are going to, you just want to do me harm. Should the work stop and should I leave it and stop doing the work just to go down there and be amongst you, the heathen nations? And I love what he said when he said, should such a man as I flee? Should such a man as I run into the temple and hide? The ninth step is, I love this. Look at chapter 6. Look at verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul. Sounds good. In 52 days. And it happened when our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. I love this because guess what? They finished strong. I love this because those who are trying to keep them from rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, reestablishing the leadership of Jerusalem and the spiritual worship of God, realized that that work was done by their God. And that's what we have to do. We have to come together and work and realize this is God calling us to do this. It's not I'm calling you. It's not a man calling. It's God is calling us to do this work that we can finish strong. You know what? In my walk with God, I started well. I want to end well. There's many who started well and they ended bad. Or some who started bad and they're ending well. You want to start well, you want to finish well. You know, sometimes I think that God is not so much concerned on the race that you're running. He's concerned in the fact that you finish your race. And you finish well. Nehemiah and them, they finished strong. So again, we can learn from Nehemiah's goal of fulfilling his vision. And if we want to learn from that, it's found in chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2. Because this is where it we can learn from it. Look at verse 17 and 18. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the walls of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken to me. And so I said, and I'm saying this to you guys, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. And that's you guys. So Nehemiah, he put himself in their shoes, in their situation. He challenged the people to meet the need. He shared the vision. He provided a plan. And he showed them that he heard. He was showing them that, hey, you know what? I heard from the Lord and that it was that he was under the authority of the king. But most importantly, he was under the authority of God. And you know what? The people saw that God, that the king and the Lord was behind his vision and behind his purpose. He made the vision clear. He showed them that it was going to be a good work for the Lord, not for himself, it's for the Lord. And this led to this, what I'm sharing with you, this leads up to what the Lord has shown me. Now, look at your bulletin. I want you to look at the inside at the church history here of North Park Christian Fellowship, or Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship. I'm going to read this. Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship started from a home fellowship of about 50 believers through Horizon Christian Fellowship under the name of North Park Christian Fellowship. In 1984, Horizon Christian Fellowship was called out of North Park, the North Park community. So the Lord raised up 12 of the 50 believers who felt the Lord leading them to continue the fellowship in the North Park area. This fellowship was in my house at the time. I'm part of that process of the 12, Keith and Anita and Richard here. We're all part of this part here, way back in 1984. And it goes on, it says, in November of 1986, with the approval of the pastors and elders of Horizon Christian Fellowship, North Park Christian Fellowship was born with the vision of to glorify God and to serve people. On May 24, 2015, North Park Christian Fellowship, with the direction of the Holy Spirit and the support from Horizon Christian Fellowship, changed its name and its new vision of today. Tell, teach, and train are committed to fulfilling the Great Commission according to Matthew 28:18, where Jesus said, and he came and he spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me under heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Today, there are about 100 to 150 who regularly attend Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship as their home church and where Jesus is lifted up. Isn't that awesome? Now, go to the front. Look at the vision. This is what the Lord showed me. Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship vision statement or mission is sharing the love of Christ in the heart of North Park. Our vision is what? To now tell people the whole message of this life, the eternal life revealed by Christ and found through him, through faith in him, Acts 5:20. Now, it's interesting because back in April, it was before April, actually, when I presented this vision to the pastors and elders, God gave me Acts chapter 5. Now, you remember in that chapter when Peter and disciples were preaching in the city, and the Pharisees and them, they had him arrested, and they threw him into prison. And so they were in prison there because of their preaching the gospel. And then that's where God released them from prison. The angel came and said, you know, go now and go stand in the temple and speak to the people of the words of this life. Because that's what Acts chapter 5, verse 20 says. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people of the words of this life. And that verse right there is what was started just really just burning up inside of me, and I'm thinking, wow, Lord, what's up with this verse here? And I wasn't really getting the whole picture, but somehow in my heart, it was just really being imprinted in my heart. And then God was showing me, hey, this is going to be the new vision. And what's funny about it is when the angel told Peter to go, he said, I want you to go right back where you were arrested the night before and go back and continue to preach. I mean, how many of you would have done that? If you were standing on the corner and you were arrested and thrown in the stocks, and then all of a sudden you got bailed out and they said, now go back to where you were arrested and continue to preach. That's what they did. And so God showed me this portion of scripture. Now, when I presented it to the pastors and elders back then, it wasn't clarified. It wasn't sure, but I knew for some reason this is what God is putting on my heart. It's just not coming together yet. I wasn't sure because I was thinking, okay, the vision, God's telling us to go. He's calling us to stand, and he's calling us to speak. So I thought, oh, that's it right there. Go, stand, speak. That's making me song, go, stand, speak. And so, and then he called us to teach the whole truth of the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, where Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I can honestly say, praise God, we do that. We teach the word of God line upon line, precept upon precept. We teach it to the men. We teach it to the women. We teach it to the children, to the youth. We have Bible studies. We have service on Sunday, Bible study on Sunday. So we are teaching. Our vision is to tell. Our vision now is to teach. And then our vision is to train disciples to learn about, to believe in, and to obey the word of God, to become doers of the word, and to bear fruit of the Holy Spirit, equipping them to witness and to testify with authority and to lead people to Christ, according to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, where Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that awesome? You know the mission or the vision statement? You know what that is? That summarizes why we exist, guys. It's the reason. It's the reason why the church exists. It exists, I should say, exists. It exists. That's the reason why. Yeah, it's a new word. I just made. That's the Greek meaning. So, I got it right. This vision here is the reason why we exist in North Park. And the reason why is because why? God elected us, Jesus justified us, and the Holy Spirit sanctified us. That's the reason why, that we are here. But this is the vision now. We're going to accomplish this. Look what it says in your bulletin. We will accomplish this by telling, by teaching, and training, raising up witnesses to lead people to Christ in our Jerusalem, North Park, our Judea, San Diego County, our Samaria, United States territories, even to the ends of the earth until the whole world knows. We ain't going anywhere, right? We're not going anywhere. We're here to lead people to Christ. That's what we're here to do. And God has called us in North Park, and we're called to do that. And I love, and I can relate to what Nehemiah did here. So you know what our next step is now? After we prayed for for North Park, after we prayed for the blocks, after we did prayer walks, the next step is that we went and we started meeting neighbors. And I love John, Brother John. He was awesome. John went and he was cutting grass across the street. People were looking, what's going on here? He was out, you know, that's what we're called to do, is to minister to the community. So he was cleaning the streets and cutting grass. The car ministry, God uses the car ministry to minister to the community. In fact, we had neighbors who walked by every time we're at the car ministry, and they ask us, what are you guys doing? So we share with them, we work on cars for free. What? Yeah, for free. You just have to get the parts, light automotive work. And they said, wow, that is great to know. We have actually fixed bikes. We have fixed cars from some of the people who live in our community. We even fixed a shopping cart. This one lady, she walks every day. She walks up and down this block. She lives down the street with a shopping cart, and she brought her shopping cart, and we actually fixed her wheel. But that was the next step. And you know what? Me and Andy, the farmer's market, we went out there Thursday, the farmer's market, and we went and we talked to the business community, the neighbors. We told them, hey, how you doing? I'm Pastor Steve and Andy. This is our church here, and we want to just welcome you to the community here. And we got to win. I got to share missions trips. There's one tent here. They sell food from Africa. And I said, oh, yeah, I've been to Africa. So I was able to witness and testify what I did in Africa. I shared China. They have Chinese food. I shared about China, going to China. So we're out there, and it's really neat because they shake our hands, and we're building that relationship. So now we're out starting to meet the business community. So I love it. And then the school is building up a relationship with this new toy store right across the street. There's a toy store. And they're building the relate. They take the kids over there, and the owner allows the kids to play with the toys, and they sing and everything. So we're excited about what the work that the Lord's doing here and what he's going to do here at North Park Christian Fellowship, Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship, with you and us. We're in it together, guys. And let me tell you something. On Easter Sunday, there was over 150 people in attendance. And many of you, including myself, we really believe that the Lord was giving us a taste of what is to come. So we need to be ready. We need to be ready to build the spiritual walls around North Park area. That was a little taste. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul said, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask and think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. How many of you believe that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited. I want the pastors and elders to come up. So pastors and elders, come on up. I want you guys to see the men who God has called us to run with this vision, to minister to these men here, the pastors and the elders. These are the men that God has called here at Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship to minister to you guys. We're here for you. We open our doors to you and ask, hey, we're here for you. If you need counseling, we're here for you. We're here to minister. We're here to serve and to reach out. But these are the men that God has called and placed here at Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship that, along with myself and you, we're going to take this vision and we're going to rebuild the community of North Park Christian Fellowship within our men. And you guys, I'm going to tell you something. Those of you who are in the ministry, this vision statement, you're already fulfilling it because you're already doing those the vision that God has called us to do. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. But we're going to serve you because that's what God called us to do. I wanted to wash all your feet, but they said, no, you can't do that. Maybe next time, right? But I know some of you want more than that. You want a massage and everything. But we're going to serve communion, and we're going to serve you guys. So you guys just sit back and worship the Lord as we serve communion to you. Amen?